this afternoon, God wants to speak to us on a topic, Prepare the Way. And our text is taken from, there are two texts, from Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. And I read, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send a messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And there went out to him all the country of Judah and all the people of Jerusalem. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and had leather girdle around his waist, and ate locusts with wild honey. And he preached, saying, After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 3, it's the same account, but from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire." Praise the Lord. This is a popular verse of scripture, and we know that was about the time when the ministry of Jesus was about to start, and he had not called his disciples yet at the time. John the Baptist was just a forerunner before Jesus Christ. In our daily walk in the world, we sometimes become too busy with preparations for ourselves, family, friends, and other things in the world. We have our schedules all planned out. That is why a lot of people tend to prepare goals that span over a period of time, say 1 year or a 5-year plan, as the case may be. This is how things are done by people of the world without recourse to the Creator of the world. But as believers, the moment we are saved, that is, we are called into the body of Christ, all our preparations are planned, and plans done by self are put on hold. We need to sit back and consider that we are preparing for the Lord's return, as instructions will come directly from source. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a usual practice at the beginning of every year or every quarter for people to write down goals or decide that they want to write down New Year resolutions. Most times, these resolutions are not kept by human beings. they just want to, people just say things without thinking about the gravity of what they've said, and without understanding that things are not done just like that. We all need the grace of God to keep certain resolutions that we've kept. When a man walks into a gathering and probably gives his life to Christ, he has the hope that, okay, I'm not going back to this sin. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, no man can say, I did this all by myself. Nobody can beat his chest and say, yes, it was by my power or by my mind that I kept myself away from so and so sin. I decided not to lie. I decided not to steal. It cannot be by the strength of any man that you do all that. So most times, these resolutions are just man-made. They're not breathed by the breath of the Holy Spirit. But we know that when, as believers, we know that when the Holy Spirit speaks life into a human being, then that thing, with his help, is stable. Praise the Lord. Let's read Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 to 22. Now when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go to the other side. And the scribe came up to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And he said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. Luke chapter 9, 57 to 62. As they were all going along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first go and bid farewell to those at home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This applies to each and every one of us as believers. To become a disciple of Christ, we don't have to look back. Nobody is telling you to abandon your responsibilities as a father or as a mother or something. But once you put your hand to the plow, there's no looking back. Let's always remember Lot's wife. Her heart was with the things of Sodom and Gomorrah. She loved the things of this world. That was why she had gone so far, but yet still looked back at the burning furnace that engulfed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why she turned to a pillar of salt. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Discipleship is not something that you do with levity. You decide to with levity. There's a gravity of importance that God has placed on discipleship, and we're not supposed to look back. If God says do this, it may be difficult at that point in time, but he knows the reason why he has told you to do it. He has called each and every one of us to a task ahead. The Bible says that fields are white. The fields are white, praise the Lord. There's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom of God. And once God has called us to discipleship, there's no looking back. God wants people that can take bold steps for him. When God says jump, all you have to do is to ask how high and to obey. And to obey, God is not looking for people that will be thinking back that, oh, the things I left in this world, if it was the time I was in the world, if I had not given my life to Christ, God is not interested in all that. He's more interested in the work and how it's going to be done. Praise the Lord. He's returning to take a people that are ready for him, that have obeyed him hook, line, and sinker. Praise the Lord. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, 19 to 21. And so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Elijah passed on him and cast the mantle upon him, And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again. What have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of the oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and ministered to him. Praise the Lord. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. Hosea 10 12. "Sow for yourselves righteousness and reap the fruit of steadfast love. Break up your fallow grounds, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain salvation upon us." Praise the Lord. There's no better time to seek the face of God than now. A lot of people procrastinate. A lot of people push forward activities that are supposed to be done now. There's no better time than now to seek the face of God. Let's forget about the worries and the cares of this life, because they will never end. There will always be worries. There will always be cares of this world that will come as distractions. The devil is moving around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour, trying to distract the followers of God. But once we set our minds to the fact that we need to do what needs to be done now, we're going to do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52 verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" That is all we're supposed to be proclaiming with the words of our mouth, that the Lord reigns, and he reigns, whether or not we proclaim it or not. God reigns. He is the one that sits in the heavens, and the earth is his footstool. And his word is going to be spread abroad. Let every creature and every tongue hear that he reigns. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is why we are called. We're created to prepare the way for God. We're called into salvation to proclaim the good news that the Lord reigns. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3. "A voice cries in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" Praise the Lord. John chapter 1 verse 23. John chapter 1 verse 23 says, "He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness.'" This was John talking. "Crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Amos chapter 4 verse 12. "Therefore thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." We should ask ourselves on a regular basis, are we prepared? Are we prepared? If God calls us now, if God says, "Come home, my child," are we prepared to meet with God? Have we done all that God has instructed us to do? Let's sit back most of the time and cast our minds on all we've been doing. Then let there be sober reflection moments in our lives and think about how well we serve God. Have we really done that which he said we should do? Have we obeyed his instruction to the latter? Praise the Lord. Amen. Preparations for the Lord's return involves counting the cost of discipleship after we have all been saved. Counting the cost is not a one-time thing. It should be done on a regular basis. You can, at the point of salvation, you may have counted the cost and say, "Yes, I'm ready to follow it." But, you know, Christianity is on a step-by-step basis. Your growth is as you obey God on a daily basis. So let's, at every point in time, always count the cost and say, are we really ready? If God calls me now, am I ready to meet with him? Am I ready to give account for all that he has laid in my hands? Praise the Lord. As long as we speak the words God has instructed us to, the word will draw disciples to itself. We can see this in our main scripture text, where people from Jerusalem and Judea came and met John the Baptist. He just spoke that which God instructed him to say. He spoke the words that God instructed him to say, and people, the word of God drew people unto itself. We don't have to look for congregation. As long as we're doing what God has told us to do, the word of God itself will draw people to itself. We are to prepare the way for the Lord in two ways. Number one, with repentance. When every believer is called unto repentance, our will must be embedded in the will of God. like John the Baptist, we are sojourning through a wilderness, and we are wilderness preachers. We won't be able to give an excuse on the last day. I can't find anyone to talk to. There are people all around us. Our lives should be a testimony to our neighbors, our friends, people close to us. You will not leave where you are, your neighborhood, and go to Obibo, where people don't know you, and give a testimony. People around your neighborhood should testify that, yes, of a truth, this person is serving a living God. This person is truly a Christian, a born-again Christian. Praise the Lord. Let's read Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, and the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Praise the Lord. Do we see people that truly do not have Christ and feel compassion for those souls? God said that there is rejoicing in heaven when one soul comes to repentance. Do we see people and feel compassion for them and help them lend a word of prayer or speak to them about the gospel? Do we do that? Let's search ourselves so that at the end of the day and on the last day, people's blood will not be crying on our head. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 11. We're supposed to have the life of Christ. So let's always pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit so that whenever we come across people or God shows us a certain nation or something to pray about, we go ahead and pray and stop giving excuses. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 11. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and salute no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is said before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town and clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near." As messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's from this scripture we have read, it's not everywhere we go to that we'll be received. It's not everywhere we go to that we'll be accepted. But nevertheless, wherever you're able to spread the gospel, do that which God has called you unto. Carry no purse, carry no money, because we know that as it is written in this verse of scripture, God is going to provide. Whatever is given to you, don't turn down. But if they turn you down from the gate of the town, then you know that you've done your best, you've obeyed God. Praise the Lord. Let's read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. Hebrews 13, verse 14. "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come." Our home is not this world as born-again Christians. Let's know that we're just sojourners here on earth. And any time, at any moment, that God is going to call us home. So let's be able to do that which God has called us to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. This is the Great Commission. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Praise the Lord. Our major function as disciples of Christ is to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples of all nations. Are we teaching ourselves? Are we teaching like we prayed in the prayer session? The next generation, parents are not teaching their children the word of God. Parents are not teaching. A lot of people don't have the fear of God. When God says, speak my word at this point in time, even if it's one line, even if it's a statement you make, you know that you've dropped the word of God in that person's life. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 to 5. Preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. And I'm saying that the time is now, because a lot of people are not enduring sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who will suit their own likings. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. Discipling is not an easy task. Teaching somebody something over and over and over again, it may take years, but you see, the most important thing is that the seed has been sown in that person's life. And you will give account. Let's always bear in mind that we're going to give account for every soul that comes across our way and we did not preach or teach the gospel of Christ. Praise the Lord. The word of God is a simple message. Repentance is a total turning away from sin and turning towards God Almighty. Any other message is fallacy. Joel chapter 2 verse 13. Joel 2:13 says, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repent of evil. It's not that God is not seeing the wickedness of man upon the earth. God is slow to anger. He's giving everybody a chance. There's always a chance for every soul. And whether you accept it or not, it's between you and God, because you're going to give account. Praise the Lord. Every man on this earth is going to give account for his or her own life. Praise the Lord. For want of time, I'm going to rush a bit. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 says, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regrets. But worldly grief produces death. Praise the Lord. The second way to prepare the way for God is that we should prepare with good fruits. We must bear fruit both internally and externally as believers in Christ. We must seek earnestly in the place of prayer the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Galatians chapter 2, 22 verse 24. Crucifying the flesh with all its passions and lusts. Once we begin to live the life of the Holy Ghost, bearing external fruit would become a way of life. From the text we read, Luke chapter 10. Let's be aware that we are but laborers. Praise the Lord. We are laborers in the vineyard of God. We are lambs among wolves. We are empty-handed, and we are also people of peace. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a short song that says, there's a voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. There's a voice calling unto you and me. Are you ready to meet your God? Let's always have that question behind our minds. Are we ready to meet with our Maker?